Welcome back. It's the Mike Malloy Show right here on the Nova M Radio Network. My name is Jeff Farias. I'll be sitting in for Mike Malloy this evening as Mike is getting ready to get on a plane and come out to Phoenix. He's had to change his flight plans a little bit, try and beat impending storms happening there in Georgia. And so I decided to step in here, and I'm going to take about 3 hours. For the most part, I'm going to kind of keep the phone lines open the whole time. My buddy Jesse Dian's here. We're going to hear some live music here in studio. But for the most part, it's me and you. It's going to be a caller-driven 3 hours for the most part. I got a few audio clips I'd like to share. First of which, of course, is are we up on audio clips? I'm going to play Dana Perino. Dana Perino and... in just 2 seconds, managed to sum up the entire Bush administration. It sounds like this. Well, I guess it's not up yet. Anyway, we're going to... I'm going to be here for 3 hours. I'm going to have a lot of fun. I have a lot of audio to share with you. A lot of stories I found culled from the World Wide Web that we can discuss. But I really want to hear what's on your mind tonight, this Friday the 13th, if you believe in such things. I want to play just a real brief clip. Dana Perino, this was, summing up the Bush administration.
We screwed up, and we're trying to fix it.
At least she's half right.
We screwed up.
That's actually really what they did. They're not trying to fix it part. That's all relative. They're not really doing a whole hell of a lot to fix much of anything. It seems everything they touch only gets worse. Worse for us, you and I, fellow Americans. Worse for the Iraqi people. Worse for people all over the planet. They take care of themselves well. They know how to do that. But in terms of fixing things, not their long suit. They're not real strong at that. I wonder what you guys think about this whole notion of a war czar. I mean, this was just surreal when I saw this thing pop that a number of generals are turning down the job of war czar. So they're even trying to outsource the presidency at this point. I mean, that's the only thing I can imagine is what they're trying to do. And surprise, surprise, no one wants the gig. Essentially, the gig is you get to be scapegoat for Bush's failed war policy. Amazingly, nobody wants this job. I'm going to take a phone call here. I got James in Avondale holding. James, welcome to the program.
Yes. You know, they could probably get some guy, you know, some military guy from China to do it, you know,
right.
This war czar thing. Hey, and I wanted to say this thing about, I guess you're probably tired of talking about IMUS.
No, go ahead. What do you got?
Okay. All day long they've been saying that IMUS said this because the hip-hoppers are saying it. Well, that's just like blaming, that's just like the slave owner blaming the slave for slavery.
Right, right.
You know.
He worked every time I whipped him. It must
yeah,
be right.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Yeah. And about the Duke guys.
Mm-hmm.
Now, everybody's really feeling sorry for them and all this, okay. But do you know that they were just about two ticks away from the 1910 Mann Act? You know what that is, don't you?
Right, right.
Yeah,
right.
Because the only thing they didn't do was take those ladies across the state line.
Mm-hmm.
And if they in some states, what they did is against the law, even renting a house, having this, paying these strippers, because I perceive that as a cabaret.
Right.
And did they have a cabaret license?
Right.
See, and they, okay, then, they'll ruin these kids' life. They rented that house and they rented those girls and they put themselves in that predicament.
Right. You know? I mean, yeah, there's a lot of fault to go around in that
yeah.
whole story.
And then,
the DA acted badly, the strippers, yeah. who accused them, and the boys themselves for, hiring a stripper and bringing her into that house.
Yeah, they're supposed to be good. And the reason and that's stuff that the Duke people probably frown on their students doing stuff like that.
Right.
Yep. Yeah, and then the last straw is the Rutgers girls are getting hate mail.
Are you kidding me?
It's been on all day. They are getting hate mail.
Wow.
That's what they get for being nappy-headed, Imus called them.
Wow.
And see, and now they want to call for all the hip-hoppers to stop making records. Now, Imus, it's pitiful that Imus lost his job of 30 years. He's 65 years old, and he should have known better to do what he was doing. But they want to stop the hip-hoppers from making their records when you don't really have to buy them.
Right. And it's, yeah, exactly.
You know,
yeah.
and they're not, look, Snoop doesn't have a radio show.
It's driven by money on both sides of it. If people are going
to
buy those hip-hop records, they're going to keep making them. If advertisers don't want to be associated with Imus's racial slurs, they're going to drop them. It all comes down to the dollars
on
both
sides.
Right,
and guess what? Those hip-hoppers are going to, the record labels can stop making their records, and all they'll do is all you need is a computer and a few. They can make them and they have their own studio
and they can
sell them and don't have to have the middleman.
Yep, and many people have done it that way.
Right.
So, yep.
Right. Well, thank you for listening
James.
To my rant.
Always good talking to you, buddy.
Okay,
thank you.
All right.
Let's go to Nancy in Phoenix. Nancy, welcome to the program.
Well, hello.
Hello.
Was that James?
Yeah, it was James in Avondale.
I love him.
Yep.
He is so cool. You know what? I'm sick and tired of the white men saying this is the fault of the hip-hop.
Right.
And I did hear Al Sharpton tonight say that is not helping the situation, but that is not the cause.
Right.
And I'm sitting here remembering my college days and the fraternity houses, and this one had underage drinking, and they're the victims.
Right.
They're the victims. But also, I heard what James said, that the Rutger girls, instead of getting praise and a pat on the back, they are getting hate mail.
Wow, that's horrible.
Hate mail.
I can't believe
hate mail. They have achieved the pinnacle. That's the only time they've won that university. And they now are, and they're young girls. They did nothing but achieve. That's all they did.
Yep.
They've got scholarships. They're bright. They're talented. And they've gotten a slap in the face.
For they didn't get Imus
fired. And
I'm not
talking about Imus.
Right.
I'm talking
they didn't
about
get
all
Imus
these
fired.
Other
right.
people.
Right. Why send them hate mail? They didn't get the man fired. They reached out. They actually met with him and they gave him an opportunity to meet them face to face and offer an apology to try and salvage his career. It was too late. The money pulled out. Why don't they send in if they're angry, get angry at Procter & Gamble and General Motors and the sponsors who killed the program.
Send them out on the corporations that dumped and the corporations. It's not a moral thing.
Right.
They don't care. It's their friggin' wallet. That's all it is. It's about money, honey.
Right.
And morality has no place in these corporations.
Yep.
But I wanted to talk about the war czar.
Uh-huh. Yes.
I remember the drug czar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, how
so
successful that was. Yeah.
We have a czar. We should win.
Yep.
Don't you think? And it sounds so Ruski.
Mm-hmm.
Very
well.
Risky.
That's I think it was John Oliver on this Daily Show last night. Was talking about czar has such a positive connotation.
Right.
Weren't they all butchered by the communists in a dank basement somewhere in Kiev? Or something like
good.
That. The czars didn't really have all that good of an ending. So,
well, the other thing too, I think if he does, and they do, I'm sure Congress wouldn't go along with this, but if they appoint a czar, a war czar, then if things go south as they are. And get worse, then maybe it's not Bush's fault.
That's the whole reason for a czar.
Yeah.
It's a scapegoat.
Sure,
it's somebody
exactly.
That defer,
they
deflect
can
the
say,
blame
you know,
to.
We put him in charge and look what happened.
Yep.
Oh,
yeah,
my God. No wonder nobody wants the job.
Yeah,
who would touch it?
Nobody in their right mind wants
they
that job.
Well, maybe actually, McCain will take it.
Well, actually, I think Stephen Colbert recommended that Rumsfeld was the man for the
there
job.
There you go. Bring him
back. He
said
plenty of experience in the region. Yep.
Yeah, he had he had so much success
yes,
in the beginning
exactly.
there
yep.
and had the foresight and the vision.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Yeah. Well.
Basically, he's a known known, I think, is the
yes,
main thing going
as
for him.
Opposed to an unknown
yeah.
known that we don't know,
yeah.
that we might know, but we have known. And it's all, I couldn't listen to him because if you're just a little bit off balance, he would make you, he'd flip you right over the edge. Because yeah. he made no sense.
I gotta go.
Okay.
I got the music playing.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Bye.
Hey, I'll be right back. It's the Mike Malloy Show. 1-800-989-1480 is the phone number. I want to hear from you. What's on your mind? We'll be right back. Hey, we're back here. Hey, we are back. It's true. It's true. We're back. It's the Mike Malloy Show. My name's Jeff Farias. I usually occupy the 3 hours before Malloy here on the Nova M Radio Network. Mike's got some travel plans, and I'm filling in for him today. Joined in the studio by our good buddy Jesse Dion, singer-songwriter.
How you doing?
How you doing, Jesse? Why don't you give out your website and play the good folks a tune, will you?
The website is jessedion.com, JESSEDYEN.com. And this song is for all you fans of the so-called Christian, so-called right wing nut called the God Squad.
Congregation, now take your seats. Listen close and careful to what I preach. God tells me, and I tell you, and we'll dress it all up in the red, white, and blue. Muslims, fags, and naked breasts, spoiling our youth with PBS. All you liberals, you secular scum, what you gonna do when the rapture comes? I'm with the God Squad, tell you what, Jesus Christ is gonna kick your butt. I'm with the God Squad, grab your gun, I'm coming to you live from Armageddon. Don't need to be teaching no biology, you'll learn all you need to learn at my ministry. And pay no attention to those scandalous lies, I never had my hand between that young boy's thighs. I'm with the God Squad, listen good, hear my battle cry down in Hollywood. I'm with the God Squad, there's no place to run, I'm coming to you live from Armageddon. Oh, Operation Rescue, intelligent design, focus on the family, faith-based, it must be fine. They love the fetus, a culture of life. Marriage is a sin unless it's man and wife. They're after our children, and yours might be next. So keep praying to Jesus and sending them checks. I'm with the God Squad, quit smoking that grass. Pat Robertson is gonna kick your ass. I'm with the God Squad, where have you been? Don't you know God is an American? Amen.
That's what I'm talking about. That was a great one. Is that a pretty recent one, or have you had that?
That's its radio debut right there.
All right. Hey, look, first, you heard it here first, folks, on the Mike Malloy Show. Man, what a great tune. I don't know if we got time for another one. Let's take a phone call, and you can hang around for another second or so, right? Let's go to our, who's up next? My buddy Sarge in Mississippi. Sarge, welcome.
Hey, Jesse's album is great. I've gotten it.
All right.
All right.
And it's great, man. I highly recommend it.
Cool.
Thank you.
I missed his Katrina song, and I hate that, but someone called me on the phone just as he came on, and I missed it. So
we'll play it again in the next segment if he agrees. That was a whole other show.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I tell you, we got a fellow at unreportednews.net. He and his wife are professional musicians, and they have written a song, and I've heard it, and I'm just waiting for them to give me clearance, and I'm going to send it to you. In fact, Sean Ryan has a copy of it and is supposed to play it for you, Jeff.
Oh, all right.
So if you catch Sean, tell him he better let you hear it.
Well, I know I'm going to see him on Sunday, so.
Yeah, tell him he better play it for you. He's supposed to.
All right.
What I wanted to talk about is this this business about who says what to whom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the spirit in which something is said that carries the most weight. And I, you know, one thing, there's too much talk and too little action these days. Like right here, I hear everybody talking about we're going to do something about Katrina, and there's very few who are actually doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's high time that we start making people hold themselves accountable for what they say on the political level. Be they Democrat, Republican, or whatnot. They need to be responsible. If they say they're going to do something, then they better do it. Let's hold their feet to the fire. This goes for Pelosi. This goes for Bush or any of them. If they can't live up to what they're saying, shut up, move over, and let somebody else take charge.
Excellent point, Sarge. Thanks for the call, buddy.
Thank you.
I really do. We hope, you know, we have a great opportunity. We have all these candidates, all these people who want to be president. Let's hold them accountable. Let's ask them the hard questions, folks. Let's pressure them. Hey, it's the Mike Molloy Show. I'm Jeff Farish. I'm here with Jesse Dien. We'll be right back with more of your phone calls, more live music in studio. It's going to be a fun night, folks. Hang with me.
There's a camera across the street, supposed to be protecting me, storing every little file. Make a promise and take a while. It's hooked up to a satellite. Make sure the world's behaving right. I don't mean to bust your groove. I think it's time we made a move. 'Cause freedom isn't free tonight. Freedom isn't free tonight. Freedom isn't free tonight. I was indoctrinated here. Constitution, Paul Revere. And I'm not trying to be disloyal, but I ain't dying for your oil. Now there's a camera on the bus. Are you with them? Are you with us? Surveillance at the traffic light. Every freaking megabyte. Freedom isn't free tonight. Freedom isn't free tonight. Freedom isn't free tonight. Coming for me now. They're coming for me now, 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 now. They're coming for me now. Now, now I'm wanted by the FBI. If they arrest you, please don't lie. Tell them you paid to hear me sing. Tell them you saw everything, and freedom isn't free tonight. Freedom isn't free tonight. I'm not trying to bust your groove. Think it's time we made a move. Freedom isn't free tonight.
Thank you, sir. That is, of course, Jesse Dyan. JesseDyan.com is the website. And
you bet.
You can expose yourself to all those great tunes, even order yourself a CD. I recommend you do that. I got one last time Jesse was in town, actually handed me one personally, and enjoying it. You will, too. Hey, I want to take a phone call, and maybe we'll get another song. And I promised Sarge that Gulf Coast song. First, let's go to Gary over there in Indiana. Gary, welcome to the program.
Hey, I was just calling. The caller earlier was talking about the North Carolina, those guys in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
One or two, I can't remember if it was one or two of those, but at least one of those guys that were charged weren't, I mean, you know, I don't feel sorry for them at all. You know, they were charged and convicted in Washington, D.C. when they went on some kind of little trip for gay bashing.
Oh,
you know, you know, that wasn't in the mainstream press at all.
Mm-hmm.
You had to find that on the internet. But, I mean, they were convicted, and after this rape charge, while they, you know, there was a serious consideration of revoking their parole in Washington, D.C.
Wow.
So, you know, I mean, I don't feel sorry for these guys. But you had another caller that said something about the underage drinking. You know, I just, you know, that doesn't, you know, as long as we have the ridiculous laws we have about drinking, I mean, you're going to have that.
Well, I was 19 years old when they raised the drinking age in Massachusetts from 18 to 21. So the year before, it was fine. And then the next year, it was against the law and it was immoral. So, yeah, it's a fairly relative thing here.
I mean, you know, in that particular regard, I mean, that's our puritanical thing going on here. I mean, you know, you look at Europe and you look at the number of alcoholics and you look at here.
Right, yeah.
And it just, you know, it's ridiculous. But, you know, I mean, and, you know, it's just like, you know, another thing where they have, if a 16-year-old, you know, comes and attacks you, in some states, you know, they're going to be tried as an adult, but if you have sex with that 16-year-old and you're 21, they can try you as a sex offender.
Right.
I mean, you know, it's just our laws are just all screwed.
Yeah, yeah, no kidding. And again, they seem to serve whatever political party happens to be in charge when the law is put on the books, essentially. So
yeah, and you know, and again, back to the and where I was really going is with the law being messed up is with these Duke guys. You know, they can do something up in Washington D.C. and when you know it's now against a black girl.
Right.
You know, the press will make heyday out of that, but you didn't see anything at all about their prior conviction.
Right. Yeah, I'm surprised because that's the first I've heard of it. It was when you mentioned it today, but the fact that these guys had hate crime priors is pretty telling, and pretty telling that the press left that out of the story.
Well, I mean, they do it all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it depending upon what the story is. I
yep.
mean, if it's a black guy and they got priors, well, they certainly let you know.
Right, yeah.
But if it happens to be a white guy and it happens to be against, you know, quote-unquote queers, well, you know, that's nothing.
Right. Yeah, you know, that slides on by. Yep, you're right.
You see that? I mean, I don't know if you do, but I see it quite a bit.
Yeah.
You know, because I look at a lot of the press on the internet, you know, a lot of the alternative, you know,
right.
And you see that quite a bit,
yeah.
and it's just sad.
Well, we got a long way to go in, with regard to race relations in this country, that's for sure, Gary. Thanks for calling, buddy.
I was glad to see Don Imus gone, but, you know, there's a lot worse out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for your call, buddy.
Thanks.
Hey, we're going to get another song in here by Jesse. We promised Sarge we'd play that Gulf Coast song, so let's have at her.
You bet. Got a shout out to my friend, a Gulf War veteran, Dennis Kine, who I wrote the song with. It's called How's It Gonna Happen in America. How you gonna make me live out my car? Drinking them poisons in the lower ninth ward. And where in the hell is the National Guard? You don't send them off fighting in the Iraq war. Tell me, how's it gonna happen in America? How's it gonna happen in America? How's it gonna happen in America? Never should have happened in America. In America. Now how you gonna make me to eat out the trash? While Halliburton walks with all the cash. And how you gonna leave me in the Superdome? Yeah, you done ship me off to Houston and demolish my home. Demolish my home, yeah. Now how's it gonna happen in America? How's it gonna happen in America? Sing along if you can. How's it gonna happen in America? Yeah, never should have happened in America. In America. Hurricane came through, and then 3 days later the levees blew. I'll say it one more time, boy, are you here? I said the hurricane came through, and then 3 days later the levees blew. How'd that happen? Oh, one more. How you gonna head me off at the bridge? What you looking for? Another Ruby Ridge. And how you gonna kick us all out the joint? You know, yeah, there ain't no flooding in Algiers Point. Tell us about it. Yeah, I was on the point about September 6, 2005. All running diapers into the brick beds. Oh, how's the government gonna leave us abandoned? They're telling us that we deserve to be stranded. Stranded. How's it gonna happen in America? Tell me, how's it gonna happen in America? Oh, how's it gonna happen in America? Yeah. Never should have happened in America. Never should have happened in America. Never should have happened in America. Never should have happened in America.
Man, that's a great song. I like it even better the second time.
Thank you.
Wow. Hey, that one's for you, Sarge, since you missed the first one. Jesse was here during my program. It airs earlier, before Malloy on Nova M. And, God, what a great piece of work, man.
I don't mind repeating myself, but it's the truth, you know.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. Man, so we got a hell of a night in store for you, folks. I'm just going to keep the phone lines open all night. I'm going to try and take as many callers as physically possible. I got a bunch of clips. I got a bunch of stories I want to relate to you. Very funny little piece from The Onion from about a year and a half ago that predates the whole war czar issue that we're just seeing about right now in the and that the president actually wants to appoint a war czar. I got some great clips on that. I also want to share this Onion story with you. We'll be right back with lots more. And, of course, your phone calls at 1-800-989-1480. You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show. My name is Jeff Farias, sitting in for Mike while he gets ready to come out here to Phoenix for our big one-year anniversary birthday bash this weekend. Be right back.
Storing every little file. Make a promise and take a while. Hooked up to a satellite. Make sure the world's behaving right. I don't mean to bust your groove.
We interrupt the constitutional liberties and progress to bring you this news from New York City. Recently reported in the so-called paper of record,
the New York City Police Department conducted its very own international surveillance in advance of the RNC lockdown in 2004. Quote, attended meetings of political groups posing as sympathizers or fellow activists, the records show. Quote, undercover New York police officers attended meetings of political groups posing as sympathizers or fellow activists, the records show. They made friends, shared meals, swapped email messages, and then filed daily reports with the department's intelligence division. Quote, from the field, undercover officers filed daily accounts of their observations on forms known as DD-5s. DD-5s that called for descriptions of the gatherings, the leaders and participants, and the group's plans. End quote. So this is for the infiltrator. DD-5, DD-5, every man, every woman, every child alive. DD-5, DD-5, I know everything about you from your DD-5. 2, 3, 2. DD-5, DD-5, every man, every woman, every child alive. DD-5, DD-5, I know everything about you from your DD-5. Think it happened to me yesterday. I was kicking it street side, lower middle east side, NYPD. Have a look and see me, not just NYC. I hear those bold stormtroopers done spooked in cities across the mountains, majesty. On you, my friends, and me, I might wax paranoiac, but this stuff is whack. I'm not singing no slime, I read it in the New York Times. DD-5, DD-5, every man, every woman, every child alive. DD-5, DD-5, I know everything about you from your DD-5. Another turn of prose, another do-si-do, and the Constitution is out like burnt toast. Hurts most, East Coast, West Coast, pot roast, daily dose, anything goes, yo. Get to thinking about the total information. Unmanned aerial, what? With the carnivore and the Trojan horse. Mr. Poindexter, are you aware? Yours ain't nothing but a trumped-up red scare. DD-5, DD-5, every man, every woman, every child alive. DD-5, DD-5, I know everything about you from your DD-5. Yeah, DD-5, DD-5, every man, every woman, every child alive. DD-5, DD-5, I know everything about you from your DD-5. I got your easy pass, your credit cash in a digital dumpster dive. Never thought that I'd be living in a fascist state with the credit report, forget it, abort, the DMV, the TSA, the NSA, the USA Patriot Act, and the camera on the elevator. I'm going under the radar, living on cash and overdraft and ducking donations on your behalf. I laugh, but I'm looking at the creepy guy at 6th and Market with the microphone in his ear like he's messing with his hearing aid a little too much and asking lots of questions like, where do you guys get your money? And are you guys a team? No, I don't smell no badge, but I got my eyes and ears on the here and there. McPherson Square, beware, cause between who you're emailing and who you hang out with, city of New York thinks you might be a terrorist. DD-5, DD-5, every man, every woman, every child alive. DD-5, DD-5, I know everything about you from your DD-5. Excuse me, sir. Excuse me. Turns out you can't fly. I can't tell you why, cause your file's been reclassified.
That's a brand new one, ain't it?
Brand spanking new.
Yeah, that story was just out there about a week or so ago. I was talking about it on the air, man. Wow, that was great. Thank you, man. Jesse Dyan, right here live in the studio, JesseDyan.com is the website. You can expose yourself to all kinds of great music, just like you're here now, just by a few clicks of the mouse right over there, buddy. Man, thanks so much for doing this. Appreciate it.
I love being here.
Now, you're going to be at our big birthday bash on Sunday, correct?
I certainly am.
We're going to drag you up there on the stage and make you sing for everybody.
I think I'll be able to do that. I'll be able to pull some of these songs back out.
Cool. Hey, I'm going to take a phone call if you don't mind.
Yeah.
Let's see what Steve in New Jersey's up to. Steve, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, how are you?
Doing good.
Yeah, your screener said that he was hoping that my governor was doing all right, the governor of New Jersey.
Yeah.
And Jeff and Jesse show. Jesse's first song reminded me of one of my favorite bumper stickers, "The Moral Majority is Neither."
Right. Yep, that's a favorite of mine, too.
My new favorite is Jesus Love You Loves You, the rest of us think you're an a-hole. But that's just me.
Another good one, another favorite of mine is When Clinton Lied, Nobody Died.
Yeah, no kidding. That's for sure.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
My main thing that I wanted to discuss with you was the IMUS situation.
Uh-huh.
You know, there was a good movie out a few years ago named The American President, where Michael Douglas gives
right.
About, you know, if you believe in the freedom of speech, you have to listen to, like, the most obnoxious things that you could possibly hear that are completely opposite to the way you feel, and fight for the rights of those people to say them.
Right.
And I'm telling you, this is the way this is going. Like, first it was the right getting rid of Howard Stern onto Sirius Radio, and that the reason I got Sirius Radio was Howard and Sirius left. But, you know, when you hear these different people, like, you know, first it's the left and then it's the right and then it's the right and left, everybody's trying to, you know, censor everybody else. You have to have the freedom of speech. It's the most important amendment in our whole Constitution. And I can't understand why anybody, I mean, look at Al Sharpton, for crying out loud. You know, he's the one screaming about all of this stuff. IMUS is on his show apologizing for what he said about the Rutgers girls. Al Sharpton has never apologized to this nation. Lana Brawley, B. Jackson has never apologized to this nation.
Well, you make a good point. There are a lot of standards out there. Obviously, freedom of speech is important. To me, it comes down to economics. And IMUS is gone because the advertisers didn't want him on there anymore. He's still free to go out and make those comments, just not on national radio anymore. Steve, thanks a lot for your call today, buddy. I got to go to a break. Jesse's going to play us a little bit out of here. I'll be right back after these messages.
Ridiculous position to have created. The president should be the czar of this policy. It's not like he has more important things to do.
Hey, we're back. You've tuned into the Mike Malloy Show right here on the Nova M Radio Network. My name's Jeff Farias, sitting in for Mike Malloy this evening while he gets ready to make the big journey here to Phoenix for a big birthday bash this Sunday. Looking forward to that a great deal. Hey, special thanks again to Jesse Dien for coming on, hanging around here for a big chunk of time, doing a segment on my show earlier, and again here on Mike Malloy's show tonight. I just love having live music here in the studio. It just lifts my spirits beyond belief. Hey, I want to read you this real quick article, and then I'll jump right back on the phones. I know a lot of you have been holding patiently. This came from The Onion, out of Madison, Wisconsin, a political humor magazine. A year and a half ago, they wrote this, okay? In response to increasing criticism of his handling of the war in Iraq, the disaster in the Gulf Coast, as well as other issues such as Social Security reform, the national deficit, and rising gas prices, President Bush is expected to appoint someone to run the U.S. as soon as Friday. During these tumultuous times, America is in need of bold, resolute person who can get the job done, said Bush during a press conference Monday. My fellow Americans, I assure you that I will appoint just such a person with all due haste. The cabinet-level position, to be known as Secretary of the Nation, was established by an executive order September 2nd, but has remained unfilled in the intervening weeks. Bush went on to say, I've been talking to folks from all across the country, from Louisiana to Los Angeles, and people tell me the same thing. This nation needs a strong, compassionate leader, Bush said. In response to these concerns, I'm making this a top priority. I will name a good, qualified person as soon as possible. So, stranger than fiction, The Onion by a year and a half predates Bush's appointment. Maybe that's where they got the idea of a war czar, secretary of the nation, a strong, compassionate leader that this country has been looking for all along. So leave it to The Onion, folks. Leave it to The Onion. Okay, holding longest here. Let's see. Kirsten in Aberdeen, Washington. How you doing, Kirsten?
Hi. Thank you so much. Can you clarify for me one more time what DD5 stands for in Jesse's song?
I believe it's a document that the New York City Police Department used. It's like sort of a dossier on a
really
suspected peace activist, yes.
Good for him. Good for him for bringing that out.
Yeah.
I'd just like to say that Jesse is one of the new guard. I'm part of the old. I was active in the 60s.
All right.
And I thank God for these new singers, these new bards and poets. Because they're going to carry this wave, this new America through to the end game.
Yep.
Period. And that's what we're heading for. I know it in my bones. I know it.
Well, it's just interesting because, you know, somebody like Jesse working pretty much outside the mainstream, it's a very different situation than when you were doing this. Obviously, there were people on the streets in every community.
But
a lot of the national music, the stuff that was on the radio airwaves, you know, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young singing Ohio or For What It's Worth. You know, we're not seeing that from the mainstream music business anymore. Very, very little of any sort of meaningful protest coming out of. There are a few exceptions, but for the most part, the young people don't seem to be that motivated right now.
Yeah, I have a lot of faith they're going to step forward. Seems to be growing. I'm also known as Lady Liberty. I live in Aberdeen, Washington, the great Pacific Northwest.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a representative of a group called Women Standing, who has its inception in Seattle, Washington.
Right.
And there are groups of us in San Diego now and Oklahoma. It's been a slow mover, but thanks to John Elliott, we had some exposure for about a week on his website. And we basically are standing for peace. With no identification, there's no sign. People can glean what they glean as they see us standing quietly with our bouquets of white flowers.
Oh, wow.
And I'm very happy to be doing it. I thank God for it. It literally is causing an interchange for me personally, and it is not something I can put into words.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. My biggest concern tonight has been this incident that happened with ICE in North Dakota. Let's see, Denby, D-E-N-B-Y, I believe, and pulling any information out about this, Jeff, is well-nigh impossible, and all we are getting from Drew Wrigley, who is the U.S. attorney there, is denial, and a so-called spokesman for the event, a Tim Counts, more denial, and a rebuttal by the little gal who was kept in the bedroom while this was going on, named Jenny Robb.
Bring me up to speed here. I haven't heard this story yet. This is in North Dakota.
Oh, man. I'm glad I'm getting it on, man.
Yeah.
It happened, I believe this was yesterday or the day before. It was a raid by an ICE division. It was a dairy farm. 700 cows who had to wait to be milked. I used to milk cows, and so those cows were in agony. The neighbors pitched in after it was over and got the poor doggone cows milked.
Wow.
It was terrorism, Jeff.
They just raided a farm in North Dakota somewhere to round up suspected Mexican workers, basically.
Well, that's apparently what it's being billed as.
Wow.
And I use that loosely.
Yeah.
There were exactly 12 people on that ranch. The elder farmer, it's being run by his son now, his last name is Zimmerman. He lives in Denby, some miles away, but it was outrageous. And a little gal who was there who runs the farm, Jenny Robb, helps to run it. Will not give a live interview on the radio, but she has issued statements to be released to Progressive Talk Radio. Jude and I, my friend in Seattle who started Women Standing, has been digging like crazy for the past 2 days to get information on this. We've gone to information for phone to try to get Mr. Zimmerman's phone number. We're political activists, and a lot of our political activism has to do with calling into shows and highlighting things that people aren't hearing about.
Well, if you would, send Jeff at jefffarias.com. Send me whatever information you managed to get a hold of.
Com.
Just my first name's at mylastname.com.
Yeah, and I just want to tell America, wake up, folks. I'm the fifth woman in 2 days to call into a progressive show and bring the fact up that we are stripped of our military. We are stripped of our logistics interior-wise in this country.
Right.
And I heard a quote from Kurt Vonnegut 2 nights ago after his passing, and this was a video, or I'm so keyed up, I guess that way. Anyway, it was a quote, and it was audio, and he used the term coup d'etat.
Wow.
And that was his feeling, that that is what we're
happened.
In the process of, and it is not that far removed from the realms of our imaginations.
Yep.
So God bless you for
thanks,
what you're
Kirsten,
doing.
And thanks for all your work out there. Women
you're
Standing
very
in
welcome.
Seattle, Washington, folks. Check it out, all our Seattle listeners. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you.
Bye.
Let's go to my buddy Bill in Phoenix. Bill, welcome to the program.
Hi, Jeff. I wanted to share that lyric to that thing there, too, that I wrote with Jess, with Jesse. Do you mind?
No, not at all.
Should I sing it?
Please do.
All right, Jesse, you there?
No, he's listening on the radio.
Okay. Well, Jesse, I wrote this thing. It's called Theirs Too. You spell the title both ways. It goes, I cry for a nation that was sold down the stream. Will it ever recover its promise and dream? Can a great city once fallen yet ever raise, and can wanton destruction ever gain praise? These questions and others still hang in the air, amid all that's trouble, strife, and despair, awaiting a moment when these answers revealed, let a once great nation survive and be.
Thank you for sharing that, my brother.
All right, bud.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you. God damn. That was our buddy Bill. We're going to see Bill on Sunday night, too, at the big party. Going to be right back. You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show right here on the Nova M Radio Network. I'm Jeff Farias filling in for Mike. Just going to take calls all night. 1-800-989-1480. I'm going to try and get it through as many phone calls as I can. If you got something on your mind, you want to get it off your chest, some information you need to get out there, like Kirsten just did up there in Seattle or Aberdeen, Washington, oh, come on and share it with us, folks. I'll be right back after these important messages.
Is the President of the United States. America is a democracy. We have to make decisions based on our judgment. Thus far, the President's judgment hasn't been good in terms of, say, for example, the war in Iraq. So with all due respect to the President and the role he has, we want respect for the role that we have. And members of Congress have gone on fact-finding trips since our country began. We're not going to stop because the President wants to avoid the facts and doesn't want to engage in dialogue. We had a bipartisan trip. Interesting that the administration chose to ignore the trips of the Republicans who had been there in the week that we were there.
I'd see it as an engine is over, as into worth of pain.
That's, of course, the Speaker, Nancy Pelosi. This very morning on the Today Show with Campbell Brown, reacting to the criticism of from Cheney and, of course, the complicit media about Nancy Pelosi's role and right to go to Syria to speak with President Assad. So I don't always agree with the speaker, but I admire her, and I like her courage, and I like that she's a fighter, and she stands up. I do admire that about her. Let's see. Take your calls in the order they come in, folks, and any topic is on the table. First up is Danny in Maryland. Danny, welcome.
Hello. How you doing?
Good. How you doing today?
I want to say why I voted for Democrats for a long, long time, and I'm going to say why I'm not going to vote for Democrats anymore.
Okay.
And one of the reasons has to do with Mike Malloy. I'm not going to bash Mike Malloy because I know he's not there to defend himself. I'm not like that. Mike, think about having...
Hello? You're still there. I'm still seeing the light blinking. So if you dropped it, you... Oh, man, you know, I hate this. Drives me nuts. Somebody actually wanted to make a point that I might not agree with, and he's still there. He still says he's on the line, but I'm not hearing him. There, are you there? No, he's gone. Man, that's frustrating. I did not cut you off, Danny, in Maryland. I swear on a stack of whatever holy book you may believe in. That was not me. Call back, and I'll move you to the front of the queue. Let's go to Barry in Sun City. Barry, welcome to the program.
Jeff, how you doing, buddy?
Doing good.
I really wish I could have caught that other guy there that was playing. His music brought me back to, you probably remember, Johnny Prine.
Oh, yeah.
That guy's awesome. And do we have to hear any more about Imus? I mean, I'm feeling like it's... you're getting way, way out of line. I agree with everything everybody said about it and the prejudice thing and everything. But 3 days with Randy Rhoads, I'm beginning to lose her as a...
I had one guest, one guy from Media Matters came on, Paul Waldman, and 10 minutes I spent with him on it. And the rest has been, if callers want to talk about it, like I said, I don't restrict the dialogue.
I totally agree. And I wasn't able to get that book by Paul Reinkopf, but I got it on order. So,
oh, cool. Hey, you can also get the other book I mentioned by Robert Sorokin is available, A Line in the Sand. Is the name of his book, and it's available online. You can Google it, and he's got a website. So,
alrighty, I don't have a computer, but I'm sure Noble's, Barnes & Noble's has it. Line in the Sand.
A Line in the Sand, it's called. Yeah, Changing Hands might carry it. I don't know, but I know he's got a website set up, so if you know somebody with a computer,
okay,
you can find out about it there.
Yeah, I'm out here in Sun City. So,
All right,
brother, have a great party, and tell Ms. Miller I said hi.
I sure will. Thanks, Barry.
All right, bye.
All right, looks like we got Danny back. Danny, sorry about that. Your phone dropped out on us.
Okay, sorry myself.
So you're not voting Democrat anymore. Why?
Okay, well, because I'm a pro-gun Democrat. I was till not too long ago. Mm-hmm. And, he admitted to having a concealed carry permit, which I agree with. I don't disagree with people having concealed carry permit.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so many hypocritical gun-owning, you know, like gun licensing, for instance. Having a gun license, I'm against that. We have gun permits, and we have the FBI searches for guns when you purchase guns. And I see so many Democrats that want gun licenses. And so many times in history, gun registration has led to confiscation.
Mm-hmm.
And with all the police state activities that, like, say, for instance, George Bush is already partaking in.
Right.
For somebody like getting to president, like Barack Obama, who wanted to ban semi-automatic weapons in Illinois, all semi-automatic weapons in Illinois, for somebody like that to become president to say, okay, well, I might not want to come into your house and copy your hard drive without you home, but say I want to come in and take your gun while you're not home.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
If there was a gun.
But I'm not sure why you blame the Democrats.
Well, because so many Democrats, especially running for president right now, they believe in a national gun registry,
mm-hmm.
where you basically say, you know, I own a gun here. I'm giving you my address. Here's my phone number and everything else you want, according to, you know, or what has to do with my gun owners. Come and get me, basically, I think what it boils down to.
Mm-hmm.
So at any rate. So Barack Obama, who's very anti-gun, and Hillary Clinton, who is pretty anti-gun, I can't see voting for somebody who I know has verbally expressed, you know, what they feel about guns and right. how they feel that they would deal with guns on the federal level.
Right. Hey, Danny, you make a good point. I'm sorry I got to cut you off, though, because we ran out of time. I got a hard break at the bottom there. Thanks a lot. I'd love to talk more about the gun issue if you want. I'm a progressive. Reading from Paul Krugman's article in today's New York Times. Today, Regent University, founded by televangelist Pat Robertson to provide Christian leadership to change the world, boasts that it has 150 graduates working in the Bush administration. The infiltration of the federal government by large numbers of people seeking to impose a religious agenda, which is very different from simply being people of faith, is one of the most important stories of the last 6 years. It's also a story that tends to go underreported, perhaps because journalists are afraid of sounding like conspiracy theorists. But this conspiracy is no theory. The official platform of the Texas Republican Party pledges to dispel the myth of separation of church and state. And the Texas Republicans now running the country are doing their best to fulfill that pledge. That's Paul Krugman in today's New York Times. Back to the phones. First up, longest in the queue, is Mike in Scottsdale. Mike, welcome.
Hey, Jeff. You know, I called in last week, and I mentioned that I was just astounded at all this crony appointments of this administration, how this could destroy government for a generation to come.
Yep.
The comment afterwards was, well, maybe not that long. It could be fixed by the next generation. But I'll tell you, when you put 150 people into the government from Pat Robertson's university, mm-hmm. it's going to take a long time to weed them out.
Yep.
It's going to do a long-term damage.
Well, I had a conversation with Elizabeth De La Vega on Wednesday.
I heard that.
Yeah, and even worse in the Justice Department, because, okay, you have these 93 U.S. attorneys who are all going to be replaced, but the people that they're staffing with, it's a lot harder to get them out of there, because it's a lot harder to remove them unless you can prove they're doing something wrong, and you got to kind of keep a pretty close eye on them to find out that. So, yeah, and I'm sure if we had somebody from the Interior Department who we could talk to, we'd find out the same thing in Interior, in Transportation, in Education. It's throughout our government.
We have a termite problem. Yeah. It's going to cost us dearly to get rid of them.
Yep.
Well, I want to say a few things. One is, I am astounded by your meteoric rise to the top. I mean, not so long ago, you went from weekend host to weekday drive time host, and you had 2 hours, and then within a week, you were up to 3 hours, and now you've got 6 hours.
Yeah, that's just I'm one of those will work for food kind of guys.
You're going to be a 24-hour
really
around-the-clock host soon.
Yep.
The other thing is that I think Jesse Dien, the amazing, mm-hmm. amazing talent. He's got
yep.
a great voice.
Yeah,
Bill,
really
not so much. But
I love Bill.
I'm looking forward to meeting them both this weekend. You had a caller that called in and said something about this IMUS issue, about it's all about free speech.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to disagree. And I think Randy Rhodes made this point a couple of days ago. This is not protecting free speech. The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights says that Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech. That is freedom of speech being protected from government.
Right.
If a business wants to fire you because you're losing the money, because you say things that lose the money, that's not a freedom of speech issue.
Right. And if you work as a cashier at the Circle K, you're not free to swear at the customers who come in. You'll lose your job pretty quick.
That's right.
It's not a free speech issue.
Well,
right.
One last thing. You mentioned the Onion, and I just love it, as
mm-hmm.
much as I love The Daily Show.
Yep.
And I remember the first time I read The Onion, it was back years ago, and I remember the article. It was titled, Clinton deploys vows to Bosnia. And I was just looking right now on this week's Onion, and there's a couple good ones. One headline is, eulogy filled with pro-Christian propaganda. And this is the best. Now I'll stop here. Baggage handler mix-up sends dirty bomb to St. Louis. Frustrated Al-Qaeda operative Abu Basir Youssef promised that this flight would be, open quote, the last of his life, close quote.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's a great source for humor.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, take care, Jeff.
Thanks,
doing
Mike.
Great.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You, buddy. Take care. Let's go to Brian in New Hampshire. Brian.
How are you?
Good. How you doing tonight?
Yeah, I wanted to say, echo what you were saying before. It was the advertisers and one of the things that, that took IMUS off the air for certain. But also to echo what the last caller was saying, I just to add to what he was saying, they are private radio stations, but they're on the public airwaves. And one of the biggest problems is that the progressive voice and the voice of the people instead of the voice of the corporations is not getting heard on these public airwaves. That's the biggest threat. And the right-wing corporatist hacks, haters like Limbaugh, Savage, O'Reilly, Hannity, Ann Coulter calling John Edwards the F-word for homosexuals and calling Al Gore the same thing. And it goes on and on, and they get away with it. You can't just focus on the one guy IMUS and the one, you all feel bad for the girls at Rutgers and all that, but you can't just focus on the one issue. These people like Neil Bortz and these people, they're spreading hatred every day. Right. And Michael Savage saying toss Iraqi prisoners of war in Iraq out of U.S. military helicopters. It's disgusting. If you go to faithfulamerica.org, there's a moderate voice of Islam, a lady, Ingrid Mattson. She's the first woman president of the Islamic Society of North America. She says Muslims in the United States face the suspicion and this fear that somehow we represent a foreign threat. And then it goes on, they link it to a complete interview she had with Paula Zahn at CNN. And another thing regarding these corporations that they still seem to be happy with all the right wing insult, hateful hosts.
Right.
It gets right in again to the pet food poisoning. The CFO of Menu Foods, weeks before he knew that the food was poisoned, that it was deadly food out there.
I saw that Oberman
sold
did a little,
half his stock.
Yeah, Oberman did a little blurb on him as worst person in the world yesterday. I was stunned by that.
And Jeff, they tested. They had seven dogs die and test in his own corporation factory there. They knew that this was deadly stuff, and he still kept selling it. And he sells the stock. Weeks before he knows that the deaths are going to break onto the news.
And other than 20 seconds on the Oberman show, pretty much ignored by the mainstream press, while they spend literally, I record a bunch of shows on the TiVo every night and then cull through them to look for clips and things to talk about on the air. The Matthew show, which has been hosted by David Gregory all week, three straight nights in a row, nothing but Don Imus. One full hour of nothing but the Imus story. And things like this, the CEO of Menu Foods, obviously knowing he had a big problem coming down the pike and dumping half of his stock gets
ignored. We talked about before, Jeff, just one last quick point that, under Bill Clinton's FDA, this kind of thing, it really was a functioning FDA of corporate oversight. They would never have allowed such poisoning of our foods for our pets or ourselves.
A functioning FDA, a functioning FEMA, a functioning Justice Department. The list goes on and on. Yep. This rotting is happening in every facet of our government right
Absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely. Yeah. Keep up the good work, lad.
Thanks, buddy.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Let's see who's next in the queue. Longest holding, Mike in Phoenix. Mike, you there?
Okay, that came up pretty quick.
Hey, how you doing?
Glad to talk to you. First time I've had occasion to call in. What I call for, I'll try to make it as brief as possible. By the way, you do a great job, Jeff.
Thanks,
I really want to compliment you on it.
Thank you.
I've listened to Air America both nationally and here in Phoenix for many, many years now. Mm-hmm. And it's just great to hear all of you people. And hopefully I'm going to try to get down on Sunday if I can.
Oh, we hope to see you there.
The reason I'm calling, I'm a 67-year-old veteran, so what I'm about to tell you, I don't want you to think I'm a nut or something or a quack or whatever. I have a very, very strong theory as to the reason why we're in the predicaments that we're in right now. And it goes back, actually, 13 to 15 years, and I did write an article on this. It was in BuzzFlash, and it was appeared on several message boards and formats and so on. The title of it is called, Will the Real Manchurian Candidate Please Stand Up?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to email this to you along with Mike Malloy and Randy and a few others. Because I honestly believe that what we're facing right now, the troubles we're facing, goes back to 1992 and 1996. And I'm sure you're very familiar with the Clean Break Policy and the PNAC Project for a New American. You know those, and you know the names that are involved with those.
Right.
And my article goes very deeply into this. Well, they had this plan, obviously, developed for a long, long time. We've seen it all happening recently. The reason why it's happening is because they had no way to trigger it. They need it, for all intents and purposes, and that's why I called my article, they needed a figurehead, and I called him the Manchurian Candidate.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember the story, the Manchurian Candidate,
oh,
the book and the movie.
The first one,
There was a Queen of Diamonds involved.
Right.
The Queen of Diamonds was the one that actually triggered the mm-hmm. Manchurian Candidate. The Manchurian Candidate now, the real Manchurian Candidate is George W. Bush.
Right.
A simpleton. He has a simple mind. There's no doubt about it. His mind has been obliterated by the alcohol and drugs or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So they needed the trigger. They needed their Queen of Diamonds to implement it. And the Queen of Diamonds, if you recall when George Bush was running for president before he had a vice presidential candidate, Dick Cheney was sent to him by his father.
Right.
And he said to him, look, send Dick out. He'll go out and find the most qualified man mm-hmm. or woman to be your vice president. So he comes back. And he says, I found the right man, Georgie, me.
Right,
okay?
Yep.
Dick Cheney is the Queen of Diamonds.
Right.
All right. He has operated for all of those, the Wolfowitzes, the Pearls, the whole crew that's involved in the Clean Break policy and the PNAC Project for New American Century. They're implementing it. If anybody wants to take the time and read these things,
mm-hmm.
the timelines are amazing as to what they've done.
Right.
It actually has happened the way they planned it out in 1996.
Right.
In order.
And this whole mess we're seeing, both in the way our government is falling apart and this war in Iraq, is not
mm-hmm.
a failure in their eyes. They are making money hand over fist in these misadventures, and they're also building a distrust of government among the Americans. For years and years, we've been hearing the conservatives, since Ronald Reagan, we've been hearing the conservatives tell us government is the problem, and now they are, anytime government screws up, works to their favor, because they
absolutely.
Dodge, they pass the buck, they move things around, but they plant this in people's minds that government doesn't work.
Right, absolutely. And these were all written within those two topics that
right,
I mentioned.
Right.
I am going to forward to you my complete article that I wrote, which breaks it down into further detail
right.
with names, et cetera, and so on. I honestly believe that's why we are.
Yeah.
See, the reason they could trigger Mr. Bush,
mm-hmm.
and I refuse to call the man Mr. President for
right.
one reason, I just will not do it. He was triggered by the fact that Saddam Hussein attempted to assassinate George 41.
Right.
Yep. That was the trigger. That was the key. That's the only reason that Bush understood and could actually, his mind is so simple.
Yep.
He doesn't know all of this other stuff
hey,
that's
Mike,
going on.
Hey, Mike, send me an email, jeff@jefferries.com. I'd love to read all about it.
I will.
I got a hard break coming
you,
up,
Jeff.
Buddy.
Hope to see you on Sunday.
I hope so, buddy. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Be right back after these important messages from our sponsors. It's the Mike Malloy Show. I'm Jeff Ferries, sitting in the night. Mike Malloy Show here on the Nova M Radio Network. 1-800-989-1480 is the phone number. Streaming at NovaMRadio.com. You can also get a podcast of this very program at that same website. I'm going to just jump back on the phones. I like doing caller-driven radio, and I'm just going to keep these phone lines working as long as you keep calling me. First up is Barbara in Cave Creek, Arizona. Barbara.
Hi.
How are you doing tonight?
You are a great addition. I haven't heard you before tonight, and I like your sanity, and I'm really glad for your rise to stardom. I wanted to let you know that Ed knew a lot about that farm, that Zimmerman farm thing with the illegals and ICE.
Uh-huh.
And apparently when they raided them, most of them weren't even, I mean, I don't think any of them were illegals. They were nationals. And they were very, very abusive, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh,
and
wow.
He was going to follow it up. But I wanted to ask you a question on that
sure.
guy that called in about the guns.
Yes.
I've never heard of anybody being raided or in trouble because they had a registered gun. Is this something I'm missing?
I haven't heard much about that either. And I'm actually, as a progressive and a liberal, I'm not in favor of a national gun law. I think the gun laws in New York City, what they need in New York City, very different from what they need in, say, Montana,
right,
or northern Mississippi. Obviously, I think it should be a state-by-state and city, municipality-by-municipality decisions as to what kind of gun laws they want.
Well,
so I'm not sure where that's coming from. So.
Well, I thought it was kind of, that's his reason for not being a Democrat. Not very good to me. But anyway, I basically wanted to say you're great, and I hope they keep you for a long time.
Well, thank you. Appreciate
that. And thanks a lot.
All right, take care now.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Who's up next on the big show? Zelf in Phoenix. Zelf, welcome.
Hey, Jeff. Yeah, I wanted to talk about guns a little bit, too, because, I thought that was kind of ludicrous. I'm with you. I mean, I know all of the Democrats I know here in Arizona are pro-gun rights.
Right.
And, in fact, Bill Richardson from New Mexico has one of the strongest NRA ratings, better than almost all of the Republicans.
Right.
So I think that guy's a phony. You know, he says that he's been a lifelong Democrat and he changed because of the gun
right.
issue.
Yeah.
But, honestly, most Democrats are really not pushing the gun issue. And hey, if you want a guy that's strong gun rights, back Bill Richardson of New Mexico.
Yeah, and if I remember correctly, the Brady bill, the strictest gun law we've had nationwide, Brady was Reagan's press secretary.
Right, and look at Giuliani. He's pro gun control.
Right.
Look at Mitt Romney. He's now trying to pander to the NRA and talking about
varmints.
What a big hunter he is because he's been hunting twice and he hunts varmints or something.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just laughable. So,
yeah.
I mean, either the guy is just hopelessly uninformed on the issue, or he's just a Republican posing as a Democrat just to stir things up.
Well, a lot of times they'll come on to a liberal show and say, I've always been a Democrat, in order to kind of get the conversation going and to unleash their wrath on you. So.
You know, if he's honestly a Democrat, actually take a look at where the stands of some of these people on the issues. But I agree with him on one thing. If you really believe this country is drifting toward fascism, I want to have a gun.
I
want to be able to protect myself from the fascists, and Mike Malloy agrees with that.
Mm-hmm.
Just one quick thing, the guy that was talking about Jesse Jackson never having apologized for his Hymetown comments, that's also BS. He apologized for that.
He did, but it wasn't made publicly. It was made off the record to a journalist who decided to reveal it.
That was 20 years ago. They have to go back 20 years to say, well, Jesse Jackson, it's just like the people that bring up, but Bill Clinton did this, Bill Clinton did that.
Yeah.
It's okay, whatever Republicans do, because Bill Clinton, Jesse Jackson.
Yeah.
And it's just pathetic.
It's that moral relativism that
they
were so happy to accuse us of.
But when they have to go back 20 years to do it, it's pretty damn pathetic.
Yeah, I agree. Learn to hate in the here and now.
Well, see you Sunday.
Hey, thanks. I'll look forward to seeing you. Next in the big queue, let's see, holding the longest has been Leonard in Glendale. Leonard, welcome to the program.
Hey, I want to call back, Jeff, say thanks. It's good hearing Zelf and hearing Sarge and all the folks out there. I basically believe what you're saying about self-defense and, you know, on weapons and everything, even though I would be real, I would not like to have weapons. You know, if you live in an apartment complex, I can't tell you how many times I've heard of near tragedies or actual tragedies where somebody who is living in an apartment or a house across the street from a shootout, whether it involves police or whatever, a child sleeping in their bed or somebody gets shot, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I believe in self-defense, but the thing is, you know, they have to pretty much be attacking, you know, doing that. I've learned a lot lately from the Code Pink ladies, and, and you know, I'm not a pacifist, I'll be honest with you.
Right.
Maybe I'll grow to that, you know.
I'm not against the idea of licensing gun ownership, too, because I think people should be trained to use them. I mean, you need a license to drive a car,
potentially
a deadly weapon. So you ought to have some sort of formal training and know what you're doing to handle something that's capable of killing people.
Well, the scary thing is, you know, like Timothy McVeigh, I mean, you take any soldier, unless they change the MOS, military occupational specialty for engineer, they teach engineers, these young soldiers going in, how to build things, but they teach them how to blow them up, and that's what gave him a good basic understanding. And a lot of these guys coming back, you know, it's not like we forget everything. So anyways. I just want to call in and, you know, just say keep up the good work, and please don't forget to go to the party, and I'd like to see everybody there.
All right. Thanks, Leonard. Hey, I'm going to have a big stack of those Recall McCain petitions at the party as well. We'll see you over
there,
buddy.
Excellent. Recall Bloody John McCain.
All right. Hey, we'll be right back with lots more of the Mike Malloy Show right here on Nova M Radio Network. We have a bunch of callers holding. We got a couple lines open right now, so if you want to get in at 1-800-989-1480, now would be a good time. We'll be right back. Show right here on the Nova M Radio Network. 1-800-989-1480 is the phone number. Streaming at NovaMradio.com. My name's Jeff Farias. I'm sitting in for Mike Malloy this evening as he prepares to fly to Phoenix tomorrow morning. Come and join us for our big birthday party, 1 year anniversary. It's going to be a lot of fun, folks. I'm sure you've been hearing all about it in the promos, but it's finally upon us. In keeping with the full disclosure, last night I hung around here all during the Malloy Show and painted this booth we're in. We wanted to kind of make nice for our fancy cousins coming to visit. Mike's going to be recording out of here next Monday, and Hartman's going to be recording here on Monday as well. And so I was in here for a couple hours last night getting the thing painted, a couple more hours this morning, touching it up and getting it worked out. And for 3 hours I've been sitting here looking at a bunch of spots I missed right under the control booth window. It's been driving me nuts. Actually, no, it's been 5 hours. And I finally had enough of it on that last break, went and opened up the can of paint, got my brush out, and did a little touch-up work in here because it was driving me nuts. I can be obsessive-compulsive as anyone, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, I want to get back on the phones here. Who do we got up next? Looks like Jim Yancey from Mississippi has been holding the longest. Jim, welcome to the program.
Hey, Jeff.
Good talking to you again, buddy.
You too.
How's it going down there?
Well, recovery's still about as slow as it has been, but talking to Sarge tonight, he said, boy, you need to check in with those guys out there in Phoenix. And just first of all, congratulations on your year anniversary. I'm listening to you, and I didn't know that till tonight.
Yeah, well, we're thrilled about it. It's pretty exciting. We got a big party planned, and we hope lots of folks come and join us because it's going to be a night not to be missed.
Well, that's great. I can't keep talking about the after effects of the storm, but it's slow moving down here. We're still doing what we're doing, but I still don't understand why the process is so slow.
Well, it's a sad fact that you have to keep talking about it because most folks would figure 20 months out, this thing would be well on its way to being rebuilt by now.
I tell you, it's unbelievable. We've got this other project going with about six other agencies. We're trying to rebuild renovate 100 homes in 100 days, mm-hmm. And you'd be surprised how many folks down here don't want to see that happen.
Wow. I can't imagine why they wouldn't want to do that. Are they waiting for people to just clear out so they can redevelop the land? Is that?
I think that may be part of it. The other part of it is our long-term recovery folks down here, I think one part of it is they've got a lot of money. Mm-hmm. That they can put into long-term recovery, and it sustains their job.
Right, right.
And I'm into sustaining my coalition I work for, but I'm not into sustaining long-term recovery because the quicker we get folks into homes, then the quicker we can get on with other stuff. So we've come up with a term called responsible recovery. It probably sounds pretty goofy or simple, but this idea of long-term recovery is kind of birthed some long-term process that folks are thinking it's going to take 5 or 6 years, and we just don't have that much time.
Right, right.
And you've probably seen the folks from Colorado State with the new hurricane report out. We're expecting about 17 storms, and we hope that's not what happens. But I'll tell you something: if we have a storm, even a Category 1 that hits the Gulf Coast, with over 25,000 FEMA trailers in the lower six counties of Mississippi, it's going to be trouble, even a Category 1.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. I don't even want to imagine that. I don't. There's no room in my head to picture that. Tell you the truth, that's just too horrible to consider. My gosh.
I just wanted to check in because I hadn't talked to you in a while. And
yeah, it's always good talking to you, Jim. God, my heart goes out to you, and I admire so much your diligence and your willingness to stand up and keep fighting. I can't imagine being in that situation myself. And God, I just tip my hat to you because like I said, it's just no one should have to be put up with this kind of thing, and this kind of thing should just never happen in America.
Well, we hope this is the last time it does. So that's what we're hoping for.
All right. Well,
now you guys have a great day tomorrow.
Thanks, Jim.
Thanks a lot,
buddy.
Uh-huh.
Bye bye. Hey, our own Sean Ryan's working on a new Mississippi Mission project. We haven't been talking much about it because we've been all consumed with this birthday party, but we're going to probably launch it full steam ahead right after this weekend's party. That'll probably be the main focus of our chats. May 6th is a Sunday, so hold the date. We're going to have a big event going on, lots of music. Lots of stuff. Sean's been working real hard behind the scenes, getting all the pieces put together. So we'll have a big announcement on that starting this coming week. Back to the phones. I got King David in La Crosse, Wisconsin. Welcome.
The Woodstock Nation Bureau checking in tonight.
All right.
In your painting the booth, it's not a psychedelic design that you painted there, is it?
It's kind of a two different greens. Actually, I commented that it kind of looks more like a Catholic school where I went to grade school. It's got a little bit of a Catholic school vibe about it, you know. It's a very pale, seafoamy green, and then just a plain old dark green. And it looks good, though. It looks great. I'm real pleased with the work I did. I didn't pick out the paint. That was delegated to somebody with a better eye than I have, and I just applied the paint.
Are you taking confessions in the booth? Is that
part of the deal?
Yeah. Anyway, the one thing that everybody's talking about, the IMA situation somehow being a free speech deal.
Right.
The key to understanding what happened with Don Imus is one of the things that he said on Monday morning when he went into his longer explanation/apology on his TV show. One of the things that Reverend Dr. DeForest Soares had told him, who he is the pastor of the church that apparently several of the team members attend. And he said, you can't make fun of everybody because some people don't deserve it.
Right.
And is it just me, or is that a lesson that we all were taught back in nursery school, and too many people on the radio have forgotten that?
Well, I mean, it's not even...
conveniently or otherwise.
Yeah, it's not even nursery school. I mean, just to even look at comedy, all right? Look at the pie in the face gag, right? The pie in the face gag is only funny if it's some upper crust society person standing there. If somebody walked up and threw a pie in the face of a poor bum living on the street, that's not funny. That's somebody being somebody in a downtrodden position being abused. It's always, you're supposed to make fun of someone, you know, the powerful, basically, bringing them down to earth, and that's where the humor lies. Not ripping on a bunch of college girls who play basketball, you know.
Yeah, and in addition to that, there is the fact that Imus has a long history of workplace conduct that, to use one of the words that he has used so frequently, hideous.
Yeah, I had heard that, too. I lived in New York for a number of years. I was in the ad business in New York City, and I had heard that about Imus, that he was just a real bastard to the people who worked with him. And oddly enough, I heard just the opposite about Howard Stern, who was the other rising star in New York radio at the time I was there, that he was one of the nicest people in the world off mic. So
yeah, just don't get him near a radio transmitter.
Right, right. Yeah.
You know, so now there is a national organization forming to try to take some sort of civilian action, so to speak, against some of the hate radio perpetrators.
Interesting.
And there is a website with that I have the address for that is for the email list for trying to
sure.
develop it.
Stop Hate Radio, I believe it was. Yeah, give that out, please.
Yeah. Actually, it's I have a tinyurl.com version
okay.
of it, which is tinyurl.com/2F4P9T
Cool.
tinyurl.com/2F4P9T And that's for a group called the Hate Radio Boycott.
Cool. All right. I will post that up on my website as well if anybody wants. It didn't get all those letters and numbers in that right order. I wrote it down here, and I'll have it up on my website in a matter of minutes, probably during this break, which we got to take a break right now. King David in La Crosse, Wisconsin, thank you so much for being part of the program today.
Likewise.
Good talking to you.
Yep.
Bye. We'll be right back with more of your phone calls. Just one phone line open right now at 1-800-989-1480. Who's up? In this order, it looks like Dwayne, Randolph, Marge, and Matt. As soon as we get back, we'll take your calls on the Mike Malloy Show right here on the Nova M Radio Network. My name's Jeff Farias. I usually fill up the 3 hours before Mike Malloy on Nova M, but I'm filling in for Mike tonight while he gets ready for his trip to Phoenix. Looking forward to meeting the man. We'll be right back. I just put up that information that King David passed on about the Stop Hate Radio petition, the tiny URL website over at my website, jefffarias.com, JefffArias.com. And if you want to send me an email, jeff@jefffarias.com. Got this email from a Malachi, I won't say his last name, but he says, it was interesting that caller who said he wasn't voting Democrat any longer because of the gun issue. I could be wrong, being someone not living in the U.S., but the only administration that I have ever heard of confiscating guns of the citizens of the U.S. is the George W. Bush administration in New Orleans after Katrina. Interesting point. Let's go to Dwayne in Mill Valley, California. Dwayne, welcome to the program.
Hi, Jeff. Thank you. Jeff, I wanted to make your listeners aware of congressional legislation that People's Lobby has before 150 offices in Congress, and we're starting to have meetings about. It would establish a national service corps, and if they like the idea, I hope they go to the website, which is just www.worldservicecorps.us. And here's quickly what it would do. If it passed in this Congress, it would ramp up over 7 years by about 140,000 Americans per year, so that by the seventh year, you'd have 1 million Americans voluntarily serving in their choice of the Peace Corps, AmeriCorps, Habitat for Humanity, Doctors Without Borders, Head Start, Red Cross, International Rescue, Oxfam, Mercy Corps, and mm-hmm. State Conservation Corps, with a mechanism in the bill to allow other organizations such as that to be added. And the incentive to get people to do this, for young people, you'd get 2 years of community college plus 2 years of state college tuition, pretty cheap, about $18,000. If you're a baby boomer or retiree, you could have that amount dedicated to anybody you wanted to dedicate it to if you did the service, or have the cash equivalent put into your medical savings or IRA account. Or if you needed a tax credit, you could take it in that form. But this idea of having a million Americans get up off the couch and start addressing the problems we have, both the problems that Jim Yancey has in Mississippi, because people could choose to serve at home or they could choose to serve abroad. And if you look at the Middle East and you add the nations in South and Southeast Africa and Indonesia, you have 21 nations there with about 910 million people, and we have a total of 56 Peace Corps volunteers working through that part of the world.
Right, right.
And if we would have had this kind of thing for the last, as Kennedy really wanted the Peace Corps to grow into this kind of thing, because within 10 years he wanted it to be at a million, if we would have had this, you know, the odds are that maybe somebody like Cheney or Bush or Wolf done a little service and had a better view of how to deal with the world.
I think it's a great idea. You want to share with the listeners how they get involved in this, how they can help support what you're trying to do?
Well, here's a couple ways. One is they can go to the website, read about it, learn about it, and spread the word. The website is www.worldservicecorps.us. The other thing is they could sign the petition at the website. And the other thing is they could call, you know, 202-225-3121, call their congressional reps and their senators and tell them that they like this. Because, as I've said, we're a small organization. We've done initiatives before, but we've done congressional legislation once before. But if they start ringing the phone and start telling these people, it raises on their agenda. We are meeting with about five or six representatives and senators' staffs. We're supposed to be meeting with them in the next several weeks in person. But to have other places around the country pushing this, like Nick Berg, the fellow who lost his son in Delaware, mm-hmm. he used this in his campaign in Delaware when he ran for Congress, and he likes to say, you know, Duane, I've adopted this. This is my thing, and he pushes it out there on the East Coast. We need more people to do this kind of virtual office thing and push this idea, because especially if you have kids, if you want to mm-hmm. leave the world a little bit better, we've got to start plugging in. And even though the politicians all talk about how they are the leader that can change things, they're not enough of a leader to change things. You need Americans to get involved, and we need a backup army that does peaceful, productive work rather than, you know, just 1.5 million soldiers doing military work. Yeah, guys like General Zinni like this.
Yep.
They say it should be even bigger than what we're proposing.
I think it's a great idea, Duane, and thanks so much for all you're doing, and thanks for getting on the air and sharing it. I hope people listening out there take heed and choose to get involved with what you're doing. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Jeff.
Hey, I'll be right back. I'm Jeff Farias. You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show right here on the Nova M Radio Network. Just a half hour to go. I got Randolph, I got Marge, I got Matt, I got Jim. Guts to dance. Guts to dance. Well, I can't really dance. I'm on a bad paw. Der Kommissar's in town. Oh, man, I haven't heard that song in forever. Falco, I believe it was. Music trivia for 20. I'll go with Falco. Hey, it's the Mike Malloy Show. I'm Jeff Farias sitting in. Dwayne's website that we just discussed, World Service Corps. .us is up on my website, jeffharris.com. If you want to link to it, find out more about what Duane is up to, please do check that out, folks. Let's go first to take them in the order I got them, folks, and Randolph is next. Welcome. Randolph, you there?
Yes, hey.
What's on your mind?
Hey,
Matt?
Thanks, Jeff, for letting me on. Hey, I wanted to just quickly let you guys know, let your Bay Area listeners know that the Sunday at the King Middle School in Berkeley, there's going to be a big impeach President Bush rally / conference with a couple of key, really keynote speakers. Dennis Liu wrote a book about it. I actually don't know the name of the book, but it's supposed to be a pretty big happening. I encourage everybody to get out there.
All right, cool.
Also, you guys celebrating your birthday, that is the greatest thing. I've seen Tom Hartman and Stephanie Miller at the San Francisco debate, the great debate that they did here a few mm-hmm. months back. And I tell you what, when Tom Hartman spoke, everybody shut up.
Wow.
I mean, the whole place. We had people on the right, we had people on the left, because it was an equal
equal. You know, we had a conservative station and a liberal station there, and it was amazing how quiet everybody got when Tom Hartman spoke. He's got the best command of history than anybody I've heard on the radio.
Oh yeah, yeah, he's an amazing guy.
Yes. Now, one thing I'd really like to bring out though is recently I learned of this. The dishonored dead list. Have you heard of that one yet?
No.
It's a list that the Pentagon was actually publishing up until January of 2005. And it was the people that died as a result of wounds inflicted in Iraq, but they didn't die in Iraq. And they died in Germany, they died in England, they died wherever in the United States.
Right.
And that list, I kid you not, it was up to over 10,000 before... 10,000 in January of 2005. Then they quit. Then they quit publishing that list.
Wow.
And the projections now are that the people that have died in the quote unquote war on terror is over 20,000.
Wow.
You know, not just the 3,500 or 3,400 that we're actually hearing about publicly.
Wow.
But you know what? I don't know if you've got a minute or so, but I've got a really good. Letter that I caught in a local paper here, and it's a letter to the editor. And it's about left wing radio, or it's about progressive radio, and it's a guy thanking all the progressive radio hosts. But the bottom paragraph is particularly good, and if you'll give me a minute,
sure,
can I? Okay. Another point that deserves a look, what is the left's motivation? Why would we want to buck the system? Why wouldn't we just march lockstep with those in charge like so many on the right? With modern technology and Big Brother upon us, read NSA and FBI spying, why would we want to risk being sent off to Guantanamo or having our credit ruined or our character assassinated or even outright assassinated as in the 60s by some gung-ho right-wing operative? Because by God, we are trying to save our country from ourselves. As one of you continually says, this country will only degrade from within, not from a foreign enemy. In other words, a faction of people leading this country are literally drunk with power, and they must be stopped before all hell breaks loose. With our current foreign policies of occupying sovereign countries to grab the oil before the Chinese do, Bush's dirty big secret, and of letting our corporations run roughshod over third world nations, making slavery a common modern day experience, all hell breaking loose is not far-fetched at all. It can almost be expected. Ultimate power corrupts ultimately, and it has never been more true than at this point in our U.S. history. A very sincere thank you to all of you for your courage to speak out when so many others are too afraid to. I hope you are able to keep up the important work that you do. If you and others like you are suddenly off the air, we'll know what happened, and revolution will be in the air.
Wow. That was great. Thanks,
really
brother.
Good letter.
Thanks for sharing it with us. I appreciate it, brother. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's go to Marge in Indiana. Marge, welcome to the program.
Well, hello there. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Where in Indiana are you?
Maryville.
Maryville. Okay. I lived down in Brown County for about 9 years.
Actually. Oh, that's down the road a piece.
Yep. Love Indiana.
Well, I'm a little upset because I don't know how far the word has gotten with the situation that is in Northwest Indiana since around the first of the year. They haven't identified the family. Except to say that the father was due to deploy to the Middle East, and before leaving, he was given certain vaccinations in preparation for that. But his departure was delayed, so he came back home. And lo and behold, his poor child, who they have not identified, but is about 2 or 3 years old, came down with a galloping case of what they first thought it was eczema and turned out to be smallpox. Isn't that lovely?
Wow.
You know, back, I don't know, in the late 70s, smallpox was eradicated from around the world, and they stopped requiring the vaccination for people who traveled.
But the government saved the smallpox virus.
Well, not exactly.
Okay.
The new version is some kind of, I don't know, bovine or pig or origins, whatever. And when administered, apparently it not enough people, especially young people, have received any kind of a vaccination for the last 25 years.
Right, so we're susceptible to it again.
Wow. Are susceptible, and this poor child has been in extreme isolation since the first of the year, that they have, how did they say that, reverted the air from his room back into his room so as not to infect anybody else.
Wow.
I mean, it is absolutely scary and infuriating.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
we have a guy here in Phoenix. A story just broke last week who's been held in quarantine since last July. He has some sort of rare form of tuberculosis, and they can't really quite pin. So he's essentially a prisoner. And I guess he ran afoul of the local sheriff here because he was getting frustrated about his captivity. So they took away his television and his radio and all the things that he used to entertain himself. So now he's just in a cell with nothing because the sheriff's mad at him.
Isn't that lovely?
Yeah, unbelievable.
You know, the people in the FDA don't seem to know what the hell they're doing. They approve about anything overnight because they're put upon by the pharmaceutical wherewithal. And even the CDC doesn't seem to have any intestinal fortitude to stand up against these buzzards.
So,
you know, they come out with all this stuff and they say, oh, we're here. We're from the government. We're here to help you. Well,
you got to wonder how much is just incompetence. And how much of this is a deliberate strategy of the Bush crime family, if I may use that term, to just disable our government and erode people's trust in the
government's
ability.
Brownie was a heck of a guy, wasn't he, that knew how to handle Katrina?
But how many more brownies are there out there in all these other facets of government?
That just rot your socks?
Yeah.
You know, the military intelligence, the greatest oxymoron that's come down the pike since Bush took the White House.
Yeah, no kidding.
Golly Moses. Oh, one little detail, and I'll let you go.
Okay.
Cheney was in Chicago today, and it seems that a bird took exception to him flying in and out of O'Hare. He committed harikari and flew through the motor.
Yeah. And to no avail. The plane landed safely.
To no avail, it sort of put the fear of God in one Mr. Cheney, son of a gun.
I find that hard to believe. I don't think Satan's afraid of God anymore.
Well, you make a point. You make a point. Well, okay. I just wanted to make sure that, you know, more people were aware of this vaccination that's supposed to prevent illness, is
right.
it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Hey, there's a film out there called Beyond Treason. I don't know if you've ever seen it. A good friend of mine and a friend of the station, Dennis Kine, is one of the people interviewed, but it's all about how the government experiments on our soldiers. And they have been doing it for years. There's a vet who works at this station, has a show on the weekends named Dennis Stout. He was experimented on when he was in Vietnam. Dennis Kine was experimented on when he was in the first Gulf War.
Doesn't that crap go back to World War II?
Yeah, it's been going on forever. Anytime the government has some sort of new drug or something new they want to test, they test it on our soldiers.
Disgusting.
Yeah,
absolutely disgusting.
Yeah.
We must stay vigilant. These people will lie at the drop of a hat, and it's money.
Yeah.
You know, if they can make a dime on anything that they do, they don't care who pays the price.
Yeah, it's sad. Hopefully enough Americans are waking up to this thing, Marge, and we can start booting these people out and getting rid of them for good this time.
I hope so, too. If there's any other young GIs that are scheduled to be deployed, if they're given vaccinations, don't go back home and risk your family because it could be incredibly sad.
Yeah. And what a horrible thing. You know what I mean? That if you go back home, you're endangering your family. You know what I mean? That's just...
Isn't that sad?
Yeah, that's the saddest thing I've heard in a long time, Marge.
Nice talking to you, Jeff.
Good talking to you. Good to meet you.
Take care.
Take care back there in Indiana.
Bye.
We're going to take a bit of a break here. We got Matt, we got Jim, we got Terry all holding in that order. We'll get to your calls as soon as we get back. Got one more segment. If you're all concise and to the point, I'll be able to get all three calls in, and I hope you will be. We'll be right back after these important messages. back. The concluding segment of the Mike Malloy Show on this Friday the 13th. I had a really good Friday the 13th, all things considered. My name is Jeff Farias, sitting in for Mike Malloy tonight. Check out my website, jefffarias.com, JefffFarias.com. Matt in New Orleans, welcome.
Hey there, how you doing?
Good, how you doing, Matt?
Oh, you know, I'm just feeling pretty powerless, actually. I'm a yellow dog Democrat. I listen to Imus every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I've spent the last 3 days watching all this coverage calling him a white racist, and it's just, it's sad because he was really a public good. He did so many good things, and he wasn't racist. You know, I think I'm trying to be concise, but to give you an example, you'd have a situation where he would have some sort of sexually charged joke,
mm-hmm.
and then 5 minutes later, Maureen Dowd, one of the preeminent modern feminists, would be on and speak for 15 minutes about whatever she had on her mind.
Right.
And then you'd have a parody of Ray Megan, and 5 minutes later you'd have a fundraising campaign for Harold Ford.
Mm-hmm.
There's so little context that's been applied to this, and I mean I'm not defending what he said. That was obviously awful, and the suspension was could certainly have been warranted, but to kind of drag him through the mud,
right.
It's really sad for someone, who, and I think most of the people who watch them every day, it's very sad. I don't, I haven't heard the whole show. I don't know if you've had a take on this, but
I haven't talked much about it. I talked about it a couple days ago. I had some folks from Media Matters on, and my main take on it is like, he's certainly by far not the worst offender, and certainly not the there are so many more people doing so many more offensive things out there. It seemed odd that he was the one that was singled out for it.
Who mean it, exactly.
Right. And who do it for political gain, not just like riffing, basically. Which when I heard the tape, it sounded like it was almost his producer was the guy who was really kind of driving the whole thing. And he was just riffing off of what the guy was saying to him,
And it was awful because they wouldn't do sports if they weren't on a sports radio station. I mean, the target was just you never need to go. Those girls don't have a platform to talk back to him.
Right, right.
But I love Media Matters, which has also put me in a strange position because from what I understand, they kind of lit this.
They were leading the charge on this one. Yeah.
Tim Russert and those and Tom Oliphant and all those people, they are not going on there if he's racist. I mean,
right.
Frank Rich is certainly not going on there if he's some sort of gallivanting New Mexico backwoods cowboy with a weird ideology. I mean, it's just to the degree that I can add context for the listeners, I'd like to. And if y'all and if everyone out there gets the chance, get on YouTube and watch, watch him, rail about the way the troops get treated and rail about Cheney and all the. I mean, he is, under that sheen of offense, there was a really useful, good program that got lost because of a kind of. Because of the fishbowl news cycle, and it is what it is. But in retrospect, I would hope that we all tried to give this some perspective. That's all I got for you.
Thanks, Matt. I appreciate your comments on this one. Thank you. Let's go to Jim in Mobile, Alabama. Jim.
Yeah. Hey. Let me run this by you. Suppose we got all the military being depleted. Everybody sent over to Iraq. Cheney declares gets another little 9/11 situation going.
Mm-hmm.
They bring in Blackwater, declare martial law.
Mm-hmm.
How are we going to stop that from happening?
Well, the Second Amendment's on our side. That's about the only thing I got. Other than that, I don't know. It would take a complicit military on some levels. I mean, he'd have to have enough generals along with him, and I don't know if necessarily they would go that way. I think so many generals have resigned. There may be a few left, but I don't know if the military would go along with it. I don't know. I'd like to hope not.
With Blackwater. Them guys, they got a license to kill,
right.
What I mean?
They're relatively small, though. I don't know if there's enough of them to really subdue the American populace. It's a relatively, I mean, there's a couple of thousand guys, really.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. Boy, it's a scary scenario you paint for us, Jim.
There's some scary people.
Yep, I know. I hear you. You look
at what they've done so far.
Yep.
Haven't been able to control them and stop them so far.
Yep.
You know.
I hear you. Hey, thanks for your call tonight, buddy.
Great show.
Appreciate it. Let's go to Terry in Phoenix. Terry.
Yeah. First of all, we're down to 22 months before this nightmare is over. 20 months after the election, and it will be fairly more pleasant. But we ought to start thinking about when this individual leaves office, about shipping him off to The Hague for war crimes trial, because he'll be a private citizen then, and it will be a lot easier to bring him to justice once he becomes a private citizen.
Right. Well, unless he's hiding out in Paraguay with his private Blackwater military guarding the grounds.
There'll be a lot of people looking to find him. And by the way, I wish you'd start playing again Country Joe McDonald's anti-war rag, because that song ended the Vietnam War, and Clear Channel won't allow it to be played on their station because they're afraid it might end the Iraq War,
because
the lyrics are just as timely today as it was then. And I don't hear it played anymore. Like I say, on most stations, the jock would be fired if he played it.
Right.
I like to hear it as the bumper music.
Tune into my show Monday. I'll have it back on.
Okay.
Thanks, Terry. Apologize to Vicky. I ran out of time. I didn't get a chance to get to. There's one more caller came in during the break. Sorry about that, Vicky. And thank you for all the emails you sent me. Vicky's a great source of amazing information. Check out her website, channelingreality.com. Hey, I want to thank Ian Huff. Everything you heard made possible by his nimble fingers. Thank all the folks at Nova M Radio. Looking forward to meeting Mike Malloy up close and in person right here at our big birthday party, if you can make it. Look forward to seeing you there. Come up and say hello. Thank you all for participating. Thanks to everyone who called. Thanks for all the listeners. It's the weekend. Woohoo!